All right. So, here is a time for questions and answers. So if you'd like to ask a question, please raise your hand and Daniel will bring the microphone to you.
Hi, Galexis. It's Lynn.
Hello.
I've learned a lot today, and I thank you very much. I have the situation where I think I have some resistance and some fears around having my motivation healed and changing. I get home from work and I eat. And rather than spend the 2 hours that I have left before it's time to go to bed, do something constructive, too often I just figure, okay, I worked hard today. I deserve to just sit back and relax. And I read a book. That's my, it's been my savior when I was a teenager. It saved my sanity. And it's always been a safe place for me. And I'm a safety and security person. So I want to be more. And I've definitely worked hard. I've changed a lot. But I still feel like I'm holding myself back from going where I want to go because I'm afraid to get there. And I was wondering if you could help me with that.
All right. Well, what is the fear of what would happen if you got there?
Everything would change.
Mm-hmm. And then, what would that do?
I would have to change.
All right. And then what would that do?
That would lead to the unknown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And...
and what does a consensus reality say about the unknown?
Scary.
Ooh. Spooky. All sorts of loneliness may lurk there. All sorts of pain and suffering. All this tragedy that could just suddenly come in any moment. And as soon as you're happy and glorious, what does the consensus reality say could happen?
Gets knocked out from under you.
Absolutely. The rug could be pulled out from under you. You could be hit with some horrible tragedy or loss. Okay? So that's what you're afraid of. And it's all ephemeral. It's all part of the mythology of the consensus reality. You still engage the consensus reality in your daily life in the sense that when you come home, instead of doing something constructive, did you hear that word?
Yes. Okay. A little bit of judgment.
A little bit of consensus reality philosophy here.
Okay.
If you're not constructive, i.e., non-productive, are you a good citizen? No. Are you valuable? No. You're some lazy slug. And you don't deserve any success. So there, says the consensus. And so the consensus spin on your spiritual path is that you must have discipline, which means when you come home and after you eat, you have 2 hours. 2 hours for you to discipline yourself and to do your spiritual work. Now, does this make your spiritual work fun? No, not at all. It makes it a chore. And all day long you've been doing the chore, the chore, the chore. You've been working and doing your work. And regardless of how much you enjoy your work, there is still a stress attached to it, mm-hmm. an engagement with the consensus, a sense of frustration with it that it's not taking you to the divine place you wish to be, which lies out there in the unknown, by the way. Okay, so you engage with the consensus, you do your job, and you do it as well as you can, and you come home and you eat, And then there's a part of you that says, okay, now I want some pleasure. Now I want some fun. But I feel guilty. I should be doing something constructive. So, as the rebel, you step into this position where you say, look, I have done my work and I deserve something positive for myself. I deserve to escape. I deserve to do nothing. I deserve. I have earned it. You insist that you have earned it. Mm-hmm. It's actually an opportunity for you just to give it to yourself. But you have to make it a whole stand-up routine against the consensus. Putting up your dukes. Look, consensus, I deserve it now. Damn it. Now get off my case. I'm going to go read a book. Now stay away. Doesn't add to your energy. All right? So you go and read your book. And to a certain extent, if you can get lost in it, you can feel really good and you'll be enjoying yourself and so on. But do you sometimes have that little nagging voice back in the background saying, you know, you really ought to do da 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 da?
Yes. Yeah. And the little voice afterwards that says, well, you were a bad person because you didn't do anything tonight.
Yeah, you didn't do right. You went and wasted your time. You wasted your life. Isn't that what a parent says to a child? You're just wasting your life pursuing your own interests. That's generally the way it's taken by the child or the adolescent. So you still keep that engagement up. So your book reading has saved you because it's gotten you kind of away from the stress, from the guilt, from the shame, from the pressure, from the burden, from all that kind of stuff. It gets you away there temporarily. But at this point in time, even though there's some of it that you enjoy, a lot of it is escapism.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I think so.
So what you want to do is you want to end the escapism and just stay with the enjoyment and stay with the pleasure. All right? So we would recommend that when you come home from work, after you've eaten dinner, shift your motivation from root chakra, survival, which you've been on all day, to second chakra. Without having to put up a stand against the consensus or engage the consensus or feel guilty in any way, you say, I choose to shift my chakra up to pleasure. I'm going to have pleasure now. And just as we were talking about the vision quest experience, the reset, we would suggest that during that 2 hours, you give yourself total permission to do whatever you want to do for pleasure. Now, what will happen if you can authentically do that? And if you don't, then observe. Observe. Don't judge yourself about it and think you're weak, that you slipped back into the old pattern, blah, blah, blah. Don't go there. But just observe and watch what happens and watch how you respond and react and what emotions go on and how you respond and react and why and what end and what you're hoping out of it and da-da-da-da-da and all that kind of stuff and how you're expiating your guilts and sins in some other way or whatever it is, whatever your game routine is with a consensus. Just stay aware of it, right? But if you can stay in your second chakra and stay in your pleasure chakra, because here's 2 hours you can assign to your second chakra. Okay? What will happen in there is that whatever part of your book reading is fun, you will do. And then you'll start to get restless. And you'll have to do something else. And it's up to you to figure out what it is that really feels good to you to do now. And you may not think of a thing. Lots of times at the very beginning, people are totally stalled out. What do I really want to do? I have no clue. It's been so long since they've done anything they really wanted to do from their own motivation. They've forgotten. So what you do is you just basically just sit there and say, okay, body, what would you like to do? Would you like to stretch, to move? Do you want to dance to some music? Shall I put some music on for you? Body, what do you want to do? See if the body has any ideas. If the body doesn't have any ideas, then you say, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here until I have a motivation to do something. And any motivation that comes in from consensus, any motivation from internal parent, from ego, or from slave driver, basically just keep nixing it, no. And just go into your pleasure chakra and hold it there. Just find, okay, what do I want to do for pleasure? What would be fun? What would I enjoy? And just sit there. Oh, you sit there like a knot on the log, you know? Until something comes to you. Check and see, is this an escape? Because some of the actual determination of your own desire and motivation can be seen as stressful. I have no clue. What is it? Stress. Oh, the consensus reality says if you're smart, you should be able to figure this stuff out like really fast, right? So I really should know. I must not be really spiritually evolved if I don't know what I really want to do, or what I really want to feel, and what reality I really want to dream, and so on. So just sit there. Maybe you might want to even think about, well, what ideal dream would I like to put into my life? Not the young adult one, but from the place that I am now, knowing what I know now. What kind of life would I really like to have? Let me just imagine. Let me do a little dreaming here. Maybe you'll do something like that. Maybe that will kind of give you a sense of how to connect back into your desire. But the desire and the motivation is there in your second chakra. But all the debris will come out first. And underneath it will be kind of your raw foundation of desire.
Thank you.
What a good question this is? See how it fills in what we were talking about earlier? It's okay if you sit there and do nothing. Maybe you want to just sit and just kind of stare off into space. Fine. Do your thinking, do your feeling. Stay present. Don't go worrying about tomorrow or thinking about yesterday or 20 years ago. Just be in the present as much as you can. Do not turn on the TV set and veg. Okay, just kind of be with yourself. The opportunity there is for you to find out what you really want to do and how you really motivate yourself. Where's your desire body? Where's your desire nature? It got squelched so long ago. You've only let little tiny pieces of it up. You notice?
Yes.
Right? Well, the consensus reality says what you desire is unimportant. Because you are unimportant, says the consensus. Unless you contribute some kind of big, smashing, marvelous big thing to the consensus, you're not very important. Unless you make a lot of money and impress a heck of a lot of people and influence them for the better, you're not important. You know, it has all these kind of criteria, okay? So you may have to go through them all. You may find them coming through your mind. This is excellent. You pay attention to it. Maybe you even get out a little notepad and you jot it down, some of the things that you hear, and then laugh. Okay?
Yes.
Practice laughing at it. Oh, that one. Yeah, I remember. I got that one when I was 14. Okay. And then, oh, yeah, that one. I always use that one to sabotage myself. In a sense, after a while, the whole illusion game starts to become really insipid. It doesn't have the grip on you that it did. And this is for all of you. After you've worked with it a little while, that grip that maybe now seems so intense and so real ceases to be so. And you're scratching your head wondering, well, okay, where's the light? How do I... Now, let's lift out of that. Now, have I given my power away? Question number one. Do I love myself? Question number two. Well, they're not in really any special order. Three, do I feel safe and secure? Four, do I give myself the freedom to make my own choices based on what I want? You know, look at it. Where is it? Where do you sit? Where are you at? So I would recommend you ask yourself about your freedom, your power, your safety, and your love. Ask, okay, where is it? Where do I stand with it right now? Because if you take those four back to you, because they're intrinsic and natural to your state of reality that you are moving into, if you'll take those for yourself, they're natural to you as a spiritual being, then look again. All right, what's my desire? What am I motivated to do right now? It may take a few cycles, dear one. It may take a while. It may be several nights of doing this. And you're going to get that voice in your head that says, you're just wasting your time. You're not going to get anywhere with this type of stuff. This is hocus pocus new age stuff. You're never going to get anywhere. You got to achieve something. You got to make your life worthwhile and valuable to the consensus. You got to go out there and make sure you've got enough people to love you and care about you and worry about you. All those kinds of things. You see, and gradually, actually, once you pay attention to all of this and stay present with it, it'll all drop away. After a while, you won't be bothered so much by it at all. And if somebody comes into your energy field, somebody comes to your house or that you interact with during the day who judges all sorts of things like finding what you want to do and your freedom and all that kind of stuff, people who are very negative or people who are all stuck in the consensus conflict, that are refusing to get out of it, they won't take responsibility for their life, you don't have to step into that. Okay? Can you give yourself permission to stay out of that?
Yes.
You're doing much better now than you used to. Right?
Yes.
So you're basically there. But you also want to recognize you don't want to take on stuff because this is the most convenient option to the consensus. If you don't know what you want, then help somebody else out. That's a noble thing to do. Pay attention to other people and get their love. Help them, and then they'll like you. Put you right back in an old motivation. What we talked about earlier, the service thing. And those of you, too, who feel that if you care for somebody or love them, that means that you have to get around in all that dark emotional crap that they have, think again. You're to hold your energy. And the only reason you would be attracting something like that into your life would be for you to get that reinforcement, to stay in your light being self, and to stay in your power, and your freedom, and your love, and your safety. Or it may be there's something that you do want to look at within yourself that still resonates with it. But you see, if you get into that mood with them, and the adolescent, if an adolescent has a problem, they want to go to a friend, and they want the friend to side with them against somebody else, or to agree with them that they're right in their assessment of reality. Don't ever go there. Don't do it. Love them. Smile. Give them a good hug. But don't pick up that stuff. There's this whole philosophy, called the girlfriend thing, where a gal is having a problem with a relationship, so she invites her girlfriends over and they all eat junk food and they complain and bitch and moan about the guy who just treated the girl not right. Hey, yeah, you're my support team. Rah, 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 me. Is there a lot of growth and learning and change and positive light coming out of that? Not really. It's a reinforcement of the consensus. So your ability to be a friend is going to shift. You're not going to be the same type of friend. You don't have to suffer with your friend to be a friend. You don't have to take on their problem and try to solve it for them. No problem solving, okay? Nothing. Support them. Keep telling your friends, okay, where do you want to go from here? Keep orienting them to their light, to the future. That's the most that you need to do. And we're saying that because if you don't do this, you might create that. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. In the past, you've allowed that to distract you too.
Yes, absolutely. If I fix everybody else, I don't have to fix myself.
Exactly. Yeah, problem solved. Hey. And I don't have to figure out what I want. Because figuring out what you want, there's so much judgment on it from the consensus. What you want, you selfish person? What you want? Oh, you're a failure because you haven't gotten it yet. What you want? You want to pay attention? You're just obsessing with yourself. You're not in reality with the rest of us. All that kind of stuff. Ignore that. Let it go. It's not real. It's just part of the consensus illusion. Now, as we've said before, the consensus has some really good stuff in it. But the point is that if you're on a spiritual journey at this time on the planet, your aim is to go beyond what the consensus offers at this time. Because you're the ones who are stretching the boundary. And when you stretch the boundary, the consensus will grow. The options that you find can be shared in the consensus. So that other people who are following behind you will pick up on it. So even if you have no desire whatsoever to help anybody else on the planet, if you help yourself and change yourself, you're making huge changes and opportunities for everyone else. All right. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?
Hello, Galaxis.
All right.
This has been a great workshop, and it's a great continuation of some of the other earlier discussions we've had this year. A few months back, you had recommended that I do one of these motivation quests. So I did it without all the guidelines that you gave today, but I think I did pretty much what you had said to do, except that I did watch TV for a few hours. There was a marathon of Elvis Presley movies on, and I had to watch a few. Catch a few. I love to watch him sing, so it's a great way to see it. But other than that, I found myself during that time feeling strange, like Lynn, thinking I needed to be doing some things, and because I took all, had my journals, and I had tapes and music, and I thought, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to practice my yoga and do all these things, and I really didn't do very much of those things. I just kind of laid around and did Sudoku puzzles and read a little and slept, and anyway, it was great. It felt like a vacation,
yeah,
actually.
It was. It is a vacation.
Yes,
really.
Yes. And so, but I found that it's since that time that I've been much more conscious of my motivation, and when I do things, think about why am I doing this, or what's
good.
Is this my child working or my adolescent? And so
yes.
I'm very grateful to have that greater consciousness. I wanted to talk a little bit about the meditation we had before, the last meditation we had about the chakras. And I've worked a lot with chakras, and it's really powerful. And I noticed that in spite of all the work and that I've done, that there was somewhat of a resistance in my second chakra when it comes to the issue of passion. Mm-hmm. I still have problem letting myself succumb to my passion. I'm aware of what my passions are and so much more comfortable with it, but there was still a cloud there. And I'd really like some recommendations about what I can do to kind of break it loose even more.
All right.
And one of the things that I will say is that I think part of it is there's still a little bit of a hook from my past about the childhood abuse, and especially since I've been having difficulties with family members because we are disagreeing violently about what to do with certain information that needs to be made public. But that's just, you know, that may be part of it. So but I really want to be free of that anyway, just do the right thing and for me and move on.
All right. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about passion at more length in just a few moments.
Okay.
But let us say this. If you indeed have passion, several passions, you have to have desire and motivation already lined up. Mm-hmm. If you don't have desire and motivation lined up, you cannot access your passions.
Okay.
And they may not be passions once you get there. Right? Because generally, by the time a person lines up their desire and their motivation, okay, that gets the energy flowing. That's why we're talking about that at so much more length. To get that motivation right. To get it mm-hmm. clean, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you cannot jump straight into your passions. You can't do it. Because if you do that, you jump straight into your young adult self. Mm-hmm. And that young adult will blow all your successes. That's just what the young adult does, because it doesn't know how to get there, doesn't know how to be who needs to be there, doesn't know how to radiate as a light being. It's all just about form. It's all about the concretization of manifestation. That's the young adult. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't want to get into that before.
Yeah, I really have to watch that.
You have to really get desire and motivation lined up. Then look at your interests and find out which one you cannot resist. Because passion, once passion is in there, you cannot resist it. You cannot help yourself. You have to do it. So if it were a passion right now, you'd be doing it.
Yeah.
Okay? There are people who say, I have a passion. I have a passion to write. Okay, well, are you writing? No, not yet. Why not? Well, I don't have the time to, and my writing stuff is not set up, and I think I have to do some research first, and I haven't really gotten clear about the plot of my novel, and I blah, 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 and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the person's not aligned in the desire and the motivation yet.
Okay.
So they can't move the energy into the passion. The passion is beyond the motivation and desire. It's a higher state. Okay? So, first of all, you want to get the motivation really clean. So that's why we focus on this.
Okay.
And so don't worry about the passions.
Okay.
Don't even, you know, you can say, okay, I have these passions. Well, generally, when you have a passion, you can only sustain maybe two tops at a time. Because passions infuse you with so much energy and require so much movement of energy that you'd blow your socks, you'd blow your head, you'd blow your arms, you'd blow everything off, right? You'd like overload and blow. Now, what is that called? It's called crash and burn mm-hmm. in the consensus. It's when people go into their passions, when their desire and motivation do not allow for seamless, smooth, flowing energy. They get into the energy flow and they cannot handle it. It's too intense. So that's why they crash and burn, right? Because the intensity level of a passion has to really be approached and stepped into with tremendous consciousness to be able to sustain it. And also your passion then will sustain you on all levels. And that includes financial. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get the desire and motivation lined up. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Another one?
Hello, Glexus. This is Stephanie.
All right.
I'm really enjoying this very much. My question's a little bit different. It's about healing. Are we collectively being healed as a group, or is it individual? I'm just more curious. I know that we're trying to heal ourselves, but you're also helping us to heal?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You haven't felt any healing yet?
No, I'm feeling a lot of healing, I was just wondering if we're equally being healed, or those that need more healing are getting more assistance. Could you kind of enlighten me on that?
We don't understand that question.
Who could possibly be getting more
assistance?
No, in other words, if you needed more healing than the person next to you, would we be getting more healing?
Oh, it's what you're capable of receiving and how you're lining it, the energies up.
Okay.
You are the healer.
Right.
You are your healer.
Right.
So what you get is what you're willing to heal.
Okay.
All right. And you're already experiencing some healing.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we would recommend that as you heal yourself, as we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. that as you heal yourself, you're giving the opportunity on the consensus for other people to find their pathways to healing themselves as well.
That's
so
what
you're doing impact on all sorts of levels.
Okay, that's what I needed to be clarified.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank
all right.
You.
Thank you, Dewan. All right. Who else? Oh, yes. All right.
Oh, no. You have a question?
One more quick question.
Okay, sure.
This may be similar to Lynn's question, but I feel like I've become really, really effective through my life's path in assisting others in realizing their dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, I feel like I've totally lost contact with what my dream is.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. That's what we were talking about, that one of the great distractions from really getting your own dream going, to getting your own life put together, is to help everyone else. Now, the consensus reality rewards this tremendously with nobility, with a sense of value and appreciation, even though you may not get anything for that appreciation tangibly, right? But there is this kind of philosophical idea in the consensus reality that those people who do service somehow are more spiritual, or they're better people, and if they sacrifice for others, that makes them even more noble and better. Right? So it's very tantalizing to go for that validation. You understand?
Yeah.
To give yourself a sense of greater meaning by helping other people. And there is a joy to giving. It's part of your divine expression, to love, touch, heal. And that's what you're doing. All right? So it's not like what you're doing, the actual what you're doing, is wrong at all. It is absolutely wonderful. But if you're doing that in a way as an escapism from loving yourself, number one, then you have to reset. Okay?
Yeah. I don't feel that it's a set out to help others in that way. I feel like I set out thinking that I was following my passion.
Yeah,
but you realized along the way that it was...
It's not. No. No, because you got trapped by the allure of service. Okay? The allure of service takes you away from yourself. And that's the service as said by the consensus. Service, as said by the consensus, is that you must give yourself away to it. It's like the Mother Teresa principle, right? You have to live your service, total dedication, and then it's your passion. We would suggest there are very, very few people for whom that is truly their passion. It only happens if they have done their self-work and aligned up their desire and motivation first. So we'll reinforce what we have said before. Line up your desire and motivation, and then rethink. What is your passion? You're afraid right now that your passion is going to take you away from your job, from your work, from helping people. No, that's always going to be there because that's part of your divine expression of love, touch, and heal. You understand? You're
Yes.
not going to destroy anything. But essentially, you want to get your motivation on straight first. Then it will become clear. You cannot decide now what your passion will be then until your desire and motivation are in alignment. Then you are in the state of being whereby you can make that evaluation. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Because if you try to make it too soon, you're trying to control. You're looking for safety and security. I want some sure thing. I want to know I'm doing the right thing, says the adolescent. You want to stay out of that trap. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to speak about passion now. As you've taken the hint, we are certain, in these questions, when your desire and your motivation are lined up, in alignment with your truth, with who you are, respecting your energy, your temperament, your way of being, your sense of order, third chakra, what gives you pleasure, second chakra, and first chakra, what feels true and anchoring to you, where your center is, where you feel it touches your root, your core. You'll find that beyond that motivation, it expands. The flow of energy activated wants to grow. It's natural for you to want to grow, to be more. So as soon as you get your desire and motivation in track, that channel of energy will naturally by itself want to expand because you are expanding. As it expands, more intensity comes into your life. Those things that you do for pleasure, out of those things, one or two things that feel really wonderful for you. In fact, at times it may seem like an obsession. It's not. You have to be careful. Obsession is an addiction energy kind of thing. You have to have it because without that, you go into extreme anxiety about what to do. Instead, what that intensity is about is the intensity of this divine expression in some way. And generally, the passion focuses even more, and or at least most of it, seems to go through the creative channel, the creative with passion and getting the energy flow. This lines up all the other actions of your life. It lines up the love, touch, heal. It gives you opportunities to love, touch, heal. You are creating them. You are a reality creator. This is your work. This is your joy. This is your play. This is your laboratory in earth here for that. It also teaches you. Everything that you create teaches you. You learn from it. You learn from other people's responses from it. You learn how to create something different. You learn to play. You learn to explore, imagine, dream, create. Again, cycle after cycle. More creation, bringing more of yourself into your creation. Those of you who do art, music, or the technically what most people call, quote unquote, the creative arts, have felt that ecstasy where you are in your divine or connected to the divine in you. It is a very extreme and high state. If you don't have your desire and motivation lined up, you cannot really be there. Some of you know how to line up your desire and motivation for short periods of time and go there. And it is blissful. It is, and also, when you reach that point where this action or activity becomes your creative divine expression, whether it's in the creative arts or even whether it's in doing something else other than the so-called creative arts, people who do counseling can get very creative and very imaginative in what they can do to assist someone. A person who is, redecorating the house. Well, that can be seen as art, perhaps. Feng Shui, working with energy, doing healing work, teaching work. All of that involves creativity. But creativity is where the generative spiritual force of being the reality creator goes through, and your creative passion energy generally moves through second chakra. That's why you cannot be in shame and create worth a darn unless you compartmentalize it. But as soon as you come out of your creative passion, you're back into the shame. You're not complete. So what we would suggest here is for every one of you that when you find yourself engaged in the consensus, to reset yourself, to find yourself, your way back to you, to come to the present moment, because none of your passion will work if you're not in the present. This is something that creative artists also recognize. They become in this eternal moment. It is intense. They are fully there. They are creating. Even if it requires a certain amount of expertise, skill, and stuff that they're working with, that skill. They work with that skill to hone, shape, define, shape, just work with the energies in more detail, with complexity, and so on and so on. And it creates tremendous joy. It gives you greater depth as a reality manifester. But you've got to get your desire and motivation clean. When you find your passion, it determines not just your life dream, because your life dream is going to be shaped around it. It is intense. It drives, in a sense, your divine energy flow. It directs it. And it will direct it beyond your personal life into your world. That is why a person who does creative stuff, writing, music, art, you name it, whatever it is that is creative, wants to share it out there, wants to put it out there. This is divine expression. This is wanting to bring it to the world, because there is something that you have that's unique to you the world does not have, except for you. And generally, when you get your passion, you will find that unique piece, a piece that is your gift to the world. And it is a total ecstatic joy to give it. Now, we want to say one other thing about this, and that is, very often people who are artists and musicians and writers and poets and whatever, on whatever creative stuff that they do, they can get very unhappy and very disturbed if somehow or another others do not appreciate it. Now, what's happening there? Right? When you do your passion, you're doing it for you. In that moment that you do it, you're not thinking, well, this should make a good bunch of money. Because if you are thinking that way, you are not truly in your passion. You're in an obsession for money. You're trying to second guess the consensus and do something the consensus will accept and like. You're pulling your power away from you and giving it to the consensus when you do that. So here's a message, a suggestion. When you are doing something creative, when you're imagining you're being creative, when you're dreaming your life, you're being creative, when you are looking at what kind of work you want to do, how you want to do it, how you want to live your life, what kind of order you want, what kind of lifestyle you want, you're being creative. And when you are being creative, stay in your divine self. Stay doing it for you. Get into the ecstasy for you. Do it for you. Don't do it for anyone else. Do it for you. Yeah, you could maybe have somebody who inspires you, your muse. But when you really get down into it, you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for approval. You're not doing it for money. You're not doing it to make yourself look important. You're not doing it to make yourself feel valuable or worthy. It has no agenda attached to it except bliss. That's a passion. Now, the word passion also refers to the period of time in Jesus the Christ's life, in the mythology, that time between Gethsemane and through the crucifixion, through his death. It was a time of tremendous suffering. This has been added to the mythology of passion. Do not accept it. Do not suffer for your creativity. Do not suffer for your passion. Do not crash and burn. It was Jesus' choice. Jesus gave his will to the divine, and the divine's will and his will were one. He chose that path, and he chose that to move energy, to heal his disciples. It worked. It moved the energy. It did the love touch and heal. It was creative. And he even grew out of it. But you see, the mythology has been attached to him, that growing and learning, creating, loving hurts. The prices that you have to pay for your divine expression. This is ending now. It is over. No longer needed unless you, as the child or adolescent within, asks for it. It is an adolescent mythology. It is a drama of adolescence, isn't it? Is it not? Oh, I could just die. Everything is life and death important. And when do you start really thinking about death and life? When you're an adolescent. It's so dramatic. Why do you want to be gothic as an adolescent? Why does that gothic look keep showing up in adolescence? It's the play on life and death. The intrigue, the intensity. You get your passion by hormones when you enter adolescence. So you have a taste of it. But as an adult, it is going to be your choice where to direct it, how to use it, and how to experience it clean, without the mythology of crap on it, without the suffering crap. It really doesn't work, and you know it. So a lot of people have been avoiding their passion all their life. Oh, it's too scary. It's too scary. It'll never work. I'll burn out. I'll just be devastated if it's not accepted. And if I do this, I won't be unloved. People will leave me and abandon me. If I do my passion, people will be infuriated and judge me, and I'll be too visible. There's excuses up the wazoo. You got a long list you can put together. Why you're afraid of passion. Release the myth now. Recognize that living a life of passion could be an absolute exhilaration from one moment to the next, a state of bliss. You have a few examples in your history of people who had passions, and none of them were fully balanced. You're blazing a new trail. You're making a new map on that now. It's time. You came here for this. It's part of your spiritual work, your mission, your global mission as well as your personal mission. It's time to embrace the intensity without the pain in it. All right. So think about it. Think about your desire, your motivation, and what you like to do. And just play with the imagination and imagine yourself doing some things, a couple of things. Choose one of your interests and imagine yourself doing that in passion, in joy and bliss and ecstasy of the divine. Stretch a little bit, and we'll do a little bit more too. We're going to take a break now, a short break, a 10-minute break. And then when you return, we're going to do a meditation, and we're going to work with that. We're going to pull them all together for you. You can get a taste. You can get a taste of the reset. You can get a taste of the motivation. And you're going to see how easy it is in your daily life to recognize where you motivate yourself, how to motivate yourself, and how to move the energy. You don't have to stay stuck. An example is the channel. Her motivation has been out of first chakra. Past month, she's been practicing moving her motivation to second chakra. It is creating tremendous change. Tremendous. And Daniel was in second chakra already, and he's been practicing third chakra motivation. Tremendous change. Pretty phenomenal. All of you can experience this joyous change. And there will come a day when you will step into heart chakra clean, empowered, free, loving, safe. All right, so we take a break. We'll be back with you in 10 minutes. Farewell.